The following program is being brought to you on the Voice America Empowerment Channel. For more information about our network and to check out additional show hosts and topics of interest, please visit voiceamericaempowerment.com. The Voice America Talk Radio Network is the worldwide leader in live internet talk radio. Visit voiceamerica.com. The views and ideas expressed on the following program are strictly those of the host or guests and do not necessarily reflect the views and ideas held by the Voice America Talk Radio Network, its staff, and management.
Welcome to today's Inspiring Women with your host, Deanne DeMarco. On today's program, you'll meet the next business and entrepreneurial rising star. You'll learn from their successes, challenges, and life lessons to find out what has made them recognized in their fields. Now, here is your host, Deanne DeMarco.
Welcome to today's Inspiring Women. I am your host, Deanne DeMarco. And today's Inspiring Women is a mentoring show designed to give you the tools and strategies to excel professionally. Each week, we connect you with extraordinary women, exploring their careers and giving you advice, success tips, and ideas to help spark your professional and life growth. And we have got a dynamite show for you today. I mean, you're going to want to record this one or get the recording on this one and play this one over and over again. We have got Dori Clark as our guest today. And Dori Clark is a former presidential campaign spokeswoman and a frequent contributor to the Harvard Business Review and Forbes. She is recognized as a branding expert by the Associated Press, and she the author of a number of books, including Reinventing You, Defining Your Brand, Imagine Your Future, and Stand Out, How to Find Your Breakthrough Idea and Build a Following Around It. She is a marketing strategy consultant and speaker for clients that include Google, Fidelity, Microsoft, Yale University, Morgan Stanley, and the World Bank, just to mention a few. She is the adjunct professor of business administration at Duke University, as well as a university in Spain, as well as Boston Babson College. She has guest lectured at Harvard Business School, the Harvard Kennedy School, Stanford University Graduate School. I mean, this list goes on, including University of Pennsylvania's Wharton School. I mean, it's just unbelievable. Her work has been published in the Harvard Business Review Guide and Getting the Right Job and the Harvard Business Review Guide in Networking. And she is a frequent guest on MSNBC and is quoted in the media worldwide, including NPR and BBC and the Wall Street Journal. Dori, welcome to today's Inspiring Women.
Thank you so much. Really great to be here.
Yeah, I am just so lucky that you said yes to being on the show. You know, branding is one of those areas that people are always wondering about. So an entrepreneurs really struggle with this whole thing and finding what their branding should be. Can you give us some input on that?
Yeah, absolutely. I think that, you know, a lot of people are stressed out about the idea of figuring out what their brand is and how they should present themselves to the world. And part of that hesitation is that there is a really strongly ingrained cultural prohibition against bragging or seeming to be self-promoting too much. And people worry that if they even sometimes so much as think about what their brand is or how to present themselves to others, that might be beginning to infringe on this territory of, oh my gosh, maybe it's too much. And so one of the points that I try to make in my first book, Reinventing You, and my new book, Stand Out, which is coming out at the end of April, is the fact that, you know, there's nothing wrong with thinking about what your personal brand is. And in fact, it's really essential, because the truth is, even though the term personal brand didn't come into common currency until the late 1990s, what we're talking about is something that has existed from the beginning of time. What we're really talking about is your reputation. And everybody has a reputation. You can't opt out of that. But it's really important for people to understand what it is. And if it's not matching up to what you hope that it might be, how do you close that gap? And that's really what we talk about in Reinventing You and Stand Out, is how to make sure other people see you the way you would like to be seen and that they see your true talents.
Yeah, and I think some people also have difficulty in understanding what am I known for?
Yeah, I think that's so true. I mean, it's very hard for us to be able to see ourselves accurately. I think the problem that I've discovered over time is that, you know, honestly, we have too much information input about ourselves. We're in our own heads 24 hours a day. And so separating out the signal from the noise, separating out the pieces of you that may seem minor to other people compared to the pieces that seem really huge and distinct, it's very hard, if not impossible, for individuals to do. And so, in fact, one of the things that I suggest in Reinventing You, when it comes to figuring out what your brand is a really simple exercise. You know, this is something that you can do over a few days or a week, and that is to take about half a dozen people that know you, friends, colleagues, whoever, and ask them this question. If you could describe me in only three words, what would they be? And the reason that's useful is that it's not a heavy ask. I mean, it's something that someone can answer in a minute or two, but it's really useful because you're asking them to boil it down to its essence. What are these three words? And I guarantee by the time you hit the fourth or the fifth person, you're going to start to see real patterns in what they're saying about you. And you can begin to understand and to realize what it is that's making the biggest impression on others.
Yeah, I believe that to be definitely true. I know I could, and you're right. I mean, I couldn't see the forest through the trees even with myself. You know, it wasn't until I started asking others, I said, how do you see me? And it wasn't until then that I realized, oh, yeah, that is what I do. It was just kind of, and so you're right on the money there. And describing it in three words, I think, is a great exercise, great one. So for the entrepreneur, what would be your first advice to an entrepreneur who really wants to rise above or just to be noticed in his or her market?
Well, there's a lot of different ways that you can begin to do this. I mean, one thing that I suggest, and I have a whole section in Standout talking about it, is the real importance of content creation. Because the truth is, for any of us who are, in business for ourselves, or, anybody who's even an employee who's doing knowledge work, white collar work, it's very hard for other people to understand the distinctions of A, what you do, and B, how that's different than or better than what other people do. And so if they can't tell the difference, they are always going to revert to the lowest price option. And that's not a good position to be in. That's a race to the bottom. And so if you are creating content over time, and this could be, podcasts like you're doing, this could be blogging, this could be giving speeches, whatever it is, whatever the vehicle is that feels most comfortable to you, it enables people a window inside your head. It allows them to lower the risk of doing business with you because they understand what it's like to work with you, how you think about things. They can see that you're smart. They can see that they're simpatico with how you approach the issues. And so it's really one of the most important things that you can do in terms of establishing your reputation and allowing like-minded people to find you and to come to you.
So what is it that you're doing that's different or better than somebody else?
Yeah, absolutely.
That's the bottom line there. Oh, cool. So one of the questions that I have is, what are the three biggest mistakes that entrepreneurs especially make with their own personal branding?
Yeah, there's certainly a lot of them. But if I was going to pick three things to focus on, what I would say, probably the biggest mistake, the most common mistake, is assuming that other people are just going to get it when it comes to who you are and what you do. This is the sort of mentality that a lot of people are brought up with. Just, do your work, just do your thing, and if you're good, people will notice. And that may have been true, 20, 40, 50 years ago when there wasn't a lot of competition and there wasn't a lot of noise. But honestly, if we all think about our own lives and we think about how many meetings we have, how many emails that we have yet to respond to, how many posts come up on our Facebook feed, there's not enough time to take in all the information. And as a result, it means that people are not really paying that much attention to you as an individual unless you are their husband or wife or in their immediate family or are your best friend. For almost everybody else, it's just a wash of information. And so if we leave it to other people to tell our own stories, you're going to be in trouble because they're only going to get half the story, if that. They're going to, you know, just get key pieces of it wrong. So making sure you control your own narrative, making sure you have a succinct way to explain who you are, what you do, and if you've made a transition of some sort, explaining why you've done that, that's really essential to your professional success. So I would say that that is probably the biggest mistake that people make when it comes to their personal brands.
Wow. Assuming that others will get it without you controlling your narrative, that's really a good one. Yeah, and I think you're right there as well. You know, because I think when I first started out as an entrepreneur, I just assumed others would understand what it was I did.
Yeah,
it really wasn't true. It wasn't until I started to articulate it over and over and over that people finally got it.
Yeah, it takes a lot of iteration for sure.
Yeah. So what are some of the, you know, going back to your reputation over time, so what are some of those crucial steps to establish your reputation over a period of time?
Yeah, so if you're developing your reputation over time, I mean, one of the themes that I talk about in Reinventing You is what I call living out your brand. And the reason this is important, the reason this matters, is that for a lot of people, when they think about what their personal brand is, they assume that it is, somehow a synonym for your elevator pitch. Oh, you know, yeah, I have my brand. My brand is blah, blah, blah. And, you know, that's a piece of it for sure. You know, it's really important to have, as we were just talking about, a short and succinct way to talk about yourself. But that is absolutely not the entirety of your brand. Your brand is that plus it's what people see about you when they Google you. It is how you dress. It is who your friends are. It is what leadership roles you've taken or what organizations you're involved in. It is what kind of content you've written or produced. You know, it's the sum total of all of these things. And so it's really essential in this world where, because there's so much information, you know, people have access to a lot of different things. And so if they are picking up discordant messages about you, you know, if you say or claim that you are a polished professional, but you're dressing in a really sloppy way, or if you want to try to have the brand of being a thought leader in your field, but you haven't taken on leadership roles in any professional institutions, and the head of the local association hasn't even heard of you, well, you're probably not that much of a thought leader. So it's about looking at all of the aspects of your life and saying, am I presenting a coherent picture for people? Is everything that I do backing up the brand that I want to have in the marketplace? Is there a consistency and an authenticity to it? Because you could have, you know, 9 out of 10 elements, but if one thing is just glaring, you know, then people look at it and say, huh, that's weird. And it strikes a false note where they ultimately don't want to do business with you because something seems off. So it's about creating that kind of cohesion and living out your brand in all of the different ways and all of the different touch points.
Even as far as your friends as well.
Absolutely. I mean, if for anyone who listens to business podcasts, I mean, they've probably heard incessantly the famous Jim Rohn quote that you are the sum total of you're the average of the five people you spend the most time with.
Right.
But it's, it is a powerful and profound formulation. And if your friends are people that are not supportive of you, if they're the kind of people that bring you down, or if they're just operating at cross purposes from the intention that you've set for yourself in the future, that's something that other people look at and see and say, well, you know, wait a minute, what's she really about if she's hanging out with these people?
Very interesting. I, you know, because that's something that, you know, that I know parents always talk to their kids about.
Yeah.
Somehow I didn't really realize that translated later on in your adult life as well.
That's, yeah, it's true. And, you know, it certainly, you know, doesn't. Oh, sorry.
The other thing that you mentioned was the content that you write. So are you talking about blogs there, newsletters? What are you talking about when you mention the content you write about?
Yeah, so this really could be anything, any form of just putting your ideas out there and sharing it with people. I am a big fan of blogs. I blog pretty frequently for Forbes and the Harvard Business Review and Entrepreneur and other venues like that. And actually, a couple of years ago, I wrote a post for HBR, and the title of it was, "If You're Serious About Ideas, Get Serious About Blogging." And it proved to be a fairly popular post. But the idea that I put forward in there is that, you know, blogging doesn't really get talked about with the same reverence anymore. You know, everybody's really interested in these sort of new cutting-edge social technologies. You know, oh, well, what's happening on Instagram and what's happening on Pinterest? And, you know, this week it's Meerkat. And, you know, a few months ago it was Ello. And, you know, I mean, there's always things cropping up. And blogging has been around it's been around for a long time, but it's been kind of a hot, popular thing. Maybe 10 or 12 years ago, it was hot. And now it's just sort of become a standard issue way of doing business. And so people are talking about it less. But that doesn't make it less important. In fact, I think it's more important because as a lot of people, especially the youth of America, have migrated to platforms that, you know, let's be honest, are easier because they involve just snapping a picture as opposed to crafting a finely honed 700-word essay. It actually means that there is more room for you to distinguish yourself if you are the person who is writing and taking the time to come up with thoughtful stuff.
Very interesting. You know, we have got to take a quick break here. I can't believe this time has just flown, but we need to take a quick break. This is Deanna Markle, Today's Inspiring Women. Stay tuned. We'll be right back.
This is the home of the top life coaches, entrepreneurs, and success drivers. The Voice America Empowerment Channel.
I'm Steve, and I just opened my own barbecue restaurant. I'm the sauce master, but I'm no expert in printing.
And I'm Mary. I own the UPS store in Steve's neighborhood, and I help with professional printing like flyers and posters to promote Steve's restaurant. Steve loves being on his own.
But I'm not alone, thanks to Mary.
To find a locally owned center near you, visit theupsstore.com. We love small businesses. We love logistics. The UPS store franchise locations are independently owned and operated. Services, pricing, and hours of operation may vary by location. See center for details.
My name's Ken, and I am as general a contractor as you'll find. I do
kitchen remodeling, additions, plumbing, painting. Ken does it all. And I'm Mandy,
the owner of the UPS store in my neighborhood. And Mandy here does it all, too. She
handles Ken's packing and shipping. Because when you're remodeling a bathroom and a client
changes their mind on a light fixture or a mirror, Mandy packs it up and ships it out. She also
helps Ken promote his business, like with these new brochures we printed, new business cards.
And the flyers are great, too. In fact, when I'm at a job and I'm expecting a delivery,
I sign for it. I even let him know with a text or email.
Since I got a mailbox at the UPS store. I have to say, as much as I love being on my own, I'm not alone. I've got Mandy here.
To help with the heavy lifting?
Well, figuratively speaking.
To find a locally owned center near you, visit theupsstore.com. We love small businesses. We love logistics. The UPS store franchise locations are independently owned and operated. Services, pricing, and hours of operation may vary by location. See center for details.
Become a sponsor and position your company to the fastest growing market segment, the women's business market. Your organization has the opportunity to be positioned front and center to the women's business market by becoming a sponsor of Today's Inspiring Women with host Deanne DeMarco. The show is broadcast weekly and features guests who are prominent and successful women business owners and influential executives. Businesses that fail to recognize the power of the woman buyer are leaving money on the table. Increase your market share to the fastest growing market segment by becoming a sponsor for Today's Inspiring Women. Call 708-836-0118 for more information or email Deanne directly at info@deannedemarco.com.
Your favorite Voice America Talk Radio Network shows and hosts are in your car, outdoors, and wherever you need them to be.
Listen anywhere.
Get our mobile app for iPhone, BlackBerry, or Android at the Apple iTunes App Store, BlackBerry App World, or Android Market.
It's your world.
motivate, change, succeed. VoiceAmericaEmpowerment.com.
You are tuned into Today's Inspiring Women with Deanne DeMarco. We'd love to hear your questions and comments about our program. Please send an email to Deanne at DeanneDeMarco.com. That's D-E-A-N-N-E at DeanneDeMarco.com. Now, back to Today's Inspiring Women.
Welcome back. This is Deanne DeMarco, Today's Inspiring Women, and we have got Dori Clark as our guest today. And Dori, just before our break, you know, you're talking about building your personal brand and how to be seen more as an expert. And so one of the questions that I have is, how would you make sure that you're communicating your brand effectively to others? You mentioned some things earlier about some of the things that you have to live your brand. Is there anything else with that?
Yeah, it's an important question. You know, one of the things that I talk about in my new book, Stand Out, is the mm-hmm. process through which ideas spread. And, you know, a key piece of this, you know, it's very much tied into what is your brand, what are you known for. And so something that that also I think gets overlooked sometimes and I think is worth mentioning here is the importance of having a small group of trusted advisors. And the reason for that is that in Standout, I interviewed about 50 thought leaders in a variety of different fields to try to analyze the question of what exactly it was that enabled them and their ideas to get recognized and, you know, for them to be seen as experts in the public sphere. And there really is a three-step process that people need to go through for their ideas to begin to gain traction and momentum in the marketplace. And so it's what I call beginning with one-to-one idea transmission, then going one-to-many, and then finally many-to-many. And so the first step of this, you know, the one-to-one, really comes, and it, you know, it's easy to overlook this, but it's important. It really comes from sharing your ideas initially with this, you know, you could call it a kitchen cabinet, you could call it a mastermind group, you could call it a personal board of directors, but it's people that you really know have your best interests at heart, and they enable you to figure out which ideas are good and which aren't, which ideas need to be refined, and they give you the help and the support that you need to be able to do that. That's a really essential step. And then what comes afterwards is this one-to-many idea transmission where you begin doing the things we were talking about earlier, you know, blogging and speaking and things like that, so that you're sharing your ideas with a broader public. And then finally, when an idea really takes off and goes viral, this is many-to-many idea transmission, which means that you are no longer the only person talking about your idea. It's caught fire, it's captured people's imagination, and they have become ambassadors spreading the word.
You know, that's really interesting. So how many people do you really need in this trusted advisors group?
Yeah, I mean, it really doesn't need to be that many. I mean, you know, in some cases it could be as few as one, you know, if you have a best friend or something. But I think an ideal configuration is probably more along the lines, you know, let's say somewhere between 4 and 8 or something like that. I mean, enough so that you have a variety of opinions and you know, people are going to have different strengths that they can bring to the table, but not so many people that you can't invest the time in building a solid relationship with them. If you have, you know, 50 people on your personal board of advisors, you're probably not going to be able to have that deep or trusting of a relationship with them, because even if you try, you probably, you know, can't see that many people or talk to that many people that often.
Okay, so can I just zero in on this just a little bit more? So what do you do? Do you, like, take them all out for dinner? Do you have them all over to your house? How do you logistically do that?
Yeah, there's a lot of different ways that one could, of course. But I actually, in Standout, I profile a woman named Kari Anderson who had what I thought was a really interesting variation of this. She started out as a journalist. And so in the late 1980s, she started a group where it was about half a dozen people, and they would meet monthly. They were all journalists to talk about the profession, share tips. You know, maybe they'd, if they were working on a story, they'd share advice about the story or who they should be interviewing. And so, you know, it became a very trusting collegial group. So the amazing thing, what really struck me about her story is that she has now been meeting with these people, these same people, for more than 25 years, every single month. Sometimes they do it in person. Most of the time they do it by Skype because they've now relocated to different cities. And, in fact, she liked the experience so much that in 1994, she started a second group of, trusted advisors. And this group also meets monthly. It's a group of professional speakers, which is the profession that she has now. And so literally these two groups have each been going on, one for more than 20 years, one for more than 25 years. And she says that these relationships have become the most powerful in her professional life, because it's people that she can truly get honest feedback from, that know her so well that they don't hesitate to tell her the truth, and it's made her smarter about herself, and it's really been at the base of a kind of mutuality that allows her to give back as well.
So are these groups then where you're helping one another then? Or is they're all there to help her?
That would be pretty nice, I guess, if you had people who were met every month just to help you, but they might get sick of that pretty fast.
No, well, that's what I thought. Yeah.
I think it's totally legitimate if you bring people together, you know, one time or once a year or whatever, to have a little strategic powwow for yourself. But no, the way that she structures it is that these are groups of people who are intent on helping each other. And so they have a very specific structure for their meetings. Everybody goes, in a sort of set order. And let's say there's six people who are in the group. So each of them has, let's say 5 minutes. And they take turns, and during the 5 minutes, they will say, A, just kind of what's going on in their life in general. B, what need they have that month. So maybe it's, I've been thinking about redesigning my website, so I need a web designer. Does anyone have any suggestions for me? Something along those lines. Mm-hmm. And then they also say what they can offer to other people. So they, they offer up some kind of a resource. And it could be, hey, I just finished giving a speech at this conference in Atlanta. They're looking for speakers next year, and so if you're interested in a referral, let me know. Or it could be, I discovered this amazing new app, and it saved me, 3 hours a week on my bookkeeping, and, I can send you the link, or whatever it is. But the goal is very much to both give and receive help.
Yeah, got it. Okay, yeah, that sounds like a really good idea. One of the questions that I really want to get into your book a little bit more, you have this wonderful chapter in your book called Build Your Network. Would you tell us a little bit more about this and how you go about building your network?
Yeah, absolutely. So in terms of building your network, I mean, one of the things that we discovered pretty fast is that for most people, almost all of us, we are going to get our initial boost of support from the people that already know us, but that's not going to be sufficient. If you really want your idea to spread, unless you are, like the chairman of Google or whatever, you probably don't currently know all the people that you hopefully should know in order for that idea to really take off. And so how do you grow it? How do you actually start meeting the right people who are interested in this and can become those ambassadors for you?
Mm-hmm.
So one of the people that I profile and stand out is a guy named John Corcoran, who I think has done this very well. He's based in the Bay Area and, like you, is a podcaster. And he's been very strategic with how he approaches things. And he has really realized that podcasting, and you can also talk about its equivalents, blogging or doing a video series or whatever, is incredibly useful, not just because it's fun, not just because it's a form of professional development where you can, talk to the people you want to and learn from them, but also it's really a great networking tool. Because the most prominent people, they get deluged with requests. Oh, can I take you to lunch? Oh, can I take you to coffee? Can I pick your brain? And, if you're a famous person, 5, 10, 20 people a week are going to be asking you for this. You literally don't even have enough meals in a week to accommodate the requests. And so if everyone's asking you the same thing, odds are you're going to say no to that person because it's a taking request. I want your time. But the amazing thing about interviewing someone, whether it's for a podcast or a blog, et cetera, is that that's a giving request. You get to meet them, you get to spend time with them, which is your goal, but you're also offering them something, which is a platform and an opportunity to spread their message further and get recognized by other people. And so almost always, I mean, unless you're, you know, literally talking about the most famous celebrities, almost always the people will say, yes, I would be glad to be on your show. And it's a way to cut through the clutter, to get to the front of the line, and to begin to really build the network.
Oh, so that's what you're talking about when you're talking about growing your network through interviews. So interviewing people, whether it be for a blog or for a podcast or something.
Yes, exactly.
Huh. Cool. Yeah, it's very neat. Yeah, I've been amazed at how many people have said yes for my show. It just took me by surprise, you know, to get some really famous people on the shows. It's been really, like you, you know, it's been great. You know, so So what do you do with that information? So let's say you do an interview. So then how do you leverage that?
Yeah, so really the key, you know, for any form of networking is one time is not enough. If you meet somebody once but then you don't follow up, that's nice. And, you know, maybe for 3 months or maybe for 6 months they'll remember who you are. But they are not. It's not going to stick. And so, what really needs to happen is, ideally, you're going to use that as an entry point to build a longer term relationship with a person. And so, you know, one thing that I would suggest in social media actually makes this fairly easy, which is great. Is if you invite someone to be interviewed on your podcast. So, okay, you do that. That's great. You stay in touch with them around it. You send them the link, et cetera, et cetera. But then you find ways to stay on their radar. I actually use a service called Contactually, which is very helpful. And there's other versions or companies that are competitors to this. But it's great because it allows you to tag people in your database, and you can assign them essentially to a category that if you have gone X number of days without contacting them, let's say 90 days, it'll give you a reminder and it'll say, hey, Dory, it's time to reach out to so-and-so. And that's fantastic because it kind of keeps you in front of them and it reminds you to do so. So that's a very powerful networking tool. And it could be just something as simple as following their Twitter feed and sending them a message if they wrote an article that you liked, you know, hey, really, you know, love that piece in Fortune. That was great. Or, you know, it could be complimenting them about something. If you know that they're looking for other publicity opportunities, maybe they've launched a book or something, you could connect them with other friends that are podcasters so that they can get other media opportunities. If you discover in the course of getting to know them that they have a personal interest, maybe a sports team or something, you can commiserate about the sports team. John actually lives in the Bay Area, and so one of the things that he's done with great success is that when he's discovered that people that he knows and want to build relationships with are moving to the Bay Area, he, you know, essentially becomes a kind of tour guide. And, they need recommendations about restaurants. Oh, they need recommendations about ways to get plugged into the entrepreneurial community. And he will do that. He'll go above and beyond, and it enables him to turn a casual request into a friendship.
Very interesting. Yeah, because I think a lot of people don't understand really what to do. You know, once you've met somebody or you have interviewed them, what do you do next? And so I think that's one as well. And it's really important to stay in touch with people, no matter who you're speaking with. You know,
absolutely.
So how do people? You know, this book is coming out. I mean, I was really lucky that you sent me an advanced copy of it. Thank you very much. It was really a great book. How do people get hold of this book?
Oh, thank you so much. So the book is called Stand Out, How to Find Your Breakthrough Idea and Build a Following Around It. And the official release date is April 21st, but it's available now for pre-order on Amazon and Barnes & Noble and at many local bookstores. And for people who cannot wait a minute, my first book is called Reinventing You, and that is out and available for immediate instant gratification. And if people are interested in staying in touch or learning more, my website is doryclark.com, DoreClark, and I have more than 400 free articles on the website. And if folks are interested in signing up for my e-newsletter, they'll actually receive a special bonus, which is a 42-page 10-page workbook that I created. It's adapted from Stand Out, and you can get that immediately. It's called 139 Questions to Help You Find Your Breakthrough Idea and Build a Following Around It. So it's definitely you know, a hands-on workbook to enable you to identify what makes you different and special in the marketplace and get your idea moving.
You know, that's one of the things I really liked about your book is that the end of each chapter, you know, you have all these wonderful ideas in here, you know, how to develop your expert niche, how to provide providing new research, you know, combining ideas. And in each one of these sections, you ask have questions that people can ask themselves to help them really take that information and make it theirs. And I just love that about your book.
Oh, thank you so much. I really wanted to try to make it as actionable as possible, for sure.
Yeah, I mean, it's just, it's just really, really wonderful because it really helps. You know, because a lot of times you read things and you don't realize, okay, now how do I apply this to me? And by your questions, it really helps you apply all the information to what you're reading into your personal life, which is really wonderful. So I just like to give you my two cents about this.
You know? Oh, thank you. That's great.
Well, Dori, I can't believe our time has just flown by. I like to strongly recommend people to get your book. I signed up for your newsletter, as I can't wait to dive into the assessment that you sent me. I'm looking forward to that. But definitely contact Dori Clark, D-O-R-I-E-C-L-A-R-K, and that's doriclark.com. And Stand Out is the book, How to Find Your Breakthrough Idea and Build a Following Around It. Well, Dori, thank you very much for being on today's Inspiring Women.
Thank you so much for having me.
Have a great day.
Thanks. Well,
we need to take a quick break here. When we come back, we're going to talk a little bit about how to prevent being a bad boss. And what are those things that can turn your employees to wanting to leave you rather than stick around? So stay tuned. We'll be right back.
Build your better business. Achieve that goal. Make good on that resolution. The Voice America Empowerment Channel. It's your world. Motivate, change, succeed.
My name's Ken, and I am as general a contractor as you'll find. I do
kitchen remodeling, additions, plumbing, painting. Ken does it all. And I'm Mandy,
the owner of the UPS store in my neighborhood. And Mandy here does it all, too. She
handles Ken's packing and shipping. Because when you're remodeling a bathroom and a client
changes their mind on a light fixture or a mirror, Mandy packs it up and ships it out. She also
helps Ken promote his business, like with these new brochures we printed, new business cards.
And the flyers are great, too. In fact, when I'm at a job and I'm expecting a delivery,
I sign for it. I even let him know with a text or email.
Since I got a mailbox at the UPS store. I have to say, as much as I love being on my own, I'm not alone. I've got Mandy here.
To help with the heavy lifting?
Well, figuratively speaking.
To find a locally owned center near you, visit theupsstore.com. We love small businesses. We love logistics. The UPS store franchise locations are independently owned and operated. Services, pricing, and hours of operation may vary by location. See center for details.
One of the biggest challenges facing corporate America today is accountability. Lack of accountability results for more than 50% of all business failure. Lack of responsibility, strategy, and follow-up are just some of the culprits that kill accountability. Deanne DeMarco knows firsthand how to drive accountability in your business or organization. Deanne DeMarco is one of the most sought-after advisors and coaches in corporate America. Companies that use Deanne as their company coach often call her their chief accountability officer. Your company or business will grow with Deanne as your CAO. Call 866-91-COACH or email deanne@deannedemarco.com for more information.
I'm Steve, and I just opened my own barbecue restaurant. I'm the sauce master, but I'm no expert in printing.
And I'm Mary. I own the UPS store in Steve's neighborhood, and I help with professional printing like flyers and posters to promote Steve's restaurant. Steve loves being on his own.
But I'm not alone, thanks to Mary.
To find a locally owned center near you, visit theupsstore.com. We love small businesses. We love logistics. The UPS store franchise locations are independently owned and operated. Services, pricing, and hours of operation may vary by location. See center for details.
Follow us on Twitter for more great ideas at Voice America Empowerment.
You are tuned into Today's Inspiring Women with Deanne DeMarco. We'd love to hear your questions and comments about our program. Please send an email to Deanne at deannedemarco.com. That's D-E-A-N-N-E at deannedemarco.com. Now, back to Today's Inspiring Women.
Welcome back. This is Deanne DeMarco. You know, one of the questions that I teach these management skills classes all the time, and one of the things I'm asked all the time is, you know, how do I be a good boss? And so I've been looking at this whole thing around good boss, bad boss for a while now. And so I've decided to share with you today some of those little gems about how to prevent being a bad boss. So one of the problems that comes up from time to time is that your employees or direct reports sometimes feel like they're slaves. You know, in the if you take a look at the dictionary's definition of slave, a slave is a person who has lost control of himself or herself and is dominated by something or someone else. And, you know, sometimes employees feel that they're a slave at work and that work is just not being fun. So there's a lot of different solutions that you can put into place so your employees do not feel like they're slaves. And one of them is to respect your employees' privacy. You know, don't go spying on your employees. Let them have some private space to do their work without feeling like you're standing over them and looking at them all the time. Another one is to treat your employees as a valued business partner. You know, you need to be looking at your employees that they're a partner with you in the business that you're doing as compared to you pay them, so therefore they got to do what you got to do. You know, they're really a partner with you. Another solution for this is be more transparent and honest with your employees. Let them know what's going on. Sometimes employees feel that they're just left out of the loop on communication. So keep them informed as much as you can. Now, I understand, being a former manager myself, there are some things you can't share with employees because it's confidential nature. But just be upfront and honest with it. Say, you know, I would love to tell you more about this, but this is all I'm able to at this time tell you on the XYZ information. So, but be as open and honest as you can. Another solution for this is provide more opportunities for employees to control their work hours, especially in today's environment. The opportunity to have more flexible schedules when you can, put it in place. I mean, even my first management job, I was a manager of a Taco Bell restaurant. I swear, it was the hardest job of my entire life. But even with that one, even though I had to open up at a certain time and I had to close at a certain time, I would ask employees if there were certain hours that would be more beneficial for them in working. So it made no difference to me if you came in at 9 or 9:30 or 10 o'clock. I was pretty open on that as long as I had coverage. So I would give employees flexibility when you can, even when you have to have set times for doing business with your clients. So when you can, try and look for those ways that they can control their hours if they can. And if your job is one where you don't have to have really set hours, I mean, who cares if the work gets done at 10 o'clock in the morning or 10 o'clock at night? There are some people that are morning people and some people that are evening people. And another bad boss a gem is that nobody appreciates their hard work. And appreciation is one of those areas that I hear over and over and over again, is that employees just complain that they just don't think their boss appreciates their work effort. So many employees are really unhappy because they believe that their manager does not respect the good work that they're doing. And when that happens, what you can expect is that their good work that they're doing, if it's feeling unappreciated, it's going to deteriorate. So, you know, use phrases with them like, you know,
when they bring up a good idea, say, you know, that's a good point, or I'm glad you brought that up. I really appreciate that information you just gave. I really appreciate that idea that you just brought forward. Good job. Well done. And the one that's my favorite is just thank you. Thank you for being so complete on this project. Thank you for getting this done on time. Thank you for completing it ahead of time. You know, thank you for just being part of our team. Think of ways to thank your employees and let them know that you appreciate them. You know, if a holiday is coming up, go out and buy a box of Star Bars. I don't know if they have Star Bars anymore, but Star Bars or a candy bar of some sort, and distribute them to your employees, and just with a little note that says, just want to let you know I appreciate you. In the summer months, sometimes I'd go out and buy a case of water, individual bottles of water, and stick it in the refrigerator at work so it got real cold. And then I'd go around and just put one on people's desks with a little post-it note that just said, just wanted to let you know that I appreciate you, and just give them a little something. You know, just let people know that you appreciate them and appreciate them being there. Also, try and think of individual-based recognition rather than always team recognition. Think of ways that you can individually tell people that you appreciate them. One of the things I used to do is I used to have these little tiny mailboxes that I'd had on everybody's desk. It was a little tiny one, not only that a couple inches long, but a couple inches high. And I would write these individual little notes and tell people thank you for doing whatever they had done. And that I look for things to say thank you on. And I put the little note in their mailbox, and I put the little flag up, making it an individual way of saying thank you. And what was really interesting is people took these little notes. I thought they'd throw them away, but they didn't. They would actually post them and put them in their cube. And, you know, you think they were very proud that I had thanked them for doing good work and a good job. So that was kind of cool. I didn't realize it was that important, but it really was to my employees. Another solution here is to provide immediate feedback as compared to after the fact. You know, when you see somebody doing something right, say something right away. When you see it, say it is my motto. When you see it, say it. Say it right away. Don't wait a week, because it will lose its the impact of that thank you. You know, train your other supervisors, if you have other supervisors below you that manage their employees, to start providing positive feedback. You know, as managers, we're really good at giving corrective feedback, but we tend to neglect the importance of positive feedback. You know, I got a question for you. Would you treat your employees differently if they were volunteers? And one of those areas that comes up over and over again is that if you had volunteers, you'd thank them more for being there. Well, you know, there's nothing wrong with thanking your employees for being there and coming in and doing their work. So also, a lot of times during that performance review process at the end of the year, some companies have it twice a year. What's wrong with putting positive feedback in that performance evaluation as well? It's an important piece. Another way that you could be a bad boss is not respecting your employees. And in today's environment, I'm hearing respect as being such an important piece, more important than ever before. And that employees, you know, at one time we thought that when it came to respect, you had to respect me because I was your boss. You had to respect me because of my position. Well, in today's day and age, it's a two-way street. So respect is two-way. If you want to be respected, you need to respect what your employees bring to the table. And even your brand new employees, what they bring to the job, because everyone brings something. So some of those solutions might be to show that you're respecting your employees is discuss any kind of personal or sensitive issues in private. Don't do it in an open forum where other people can hear. what you're saying. As I mentioned earlier, don't go spying on your employees. Give them some privacy. Get to know your employees is another one. You know, do you know anything about the families of your employees? Are they married? Do they have kids? Do they have pets? What are their major interests? Get to know your employees. They're people that work for you, and get to know them as people. One of the things I used to do is I used to go to lunch with my employees. You know, we had a big cafeteria at work, and I'd just call someone up. I'd say, hey, do you want to join me for lunch today? I have to have lunch. They have to have lunch. Why not have lunch one-on-one with one of your employees? And don't talk about work. Talk about personal things. Talk about family life. Talk about their major interests. So just that worked out really well, actually. Another solution might be is communicate with your employees more individually. While we sometimes send a lot of blanket emails to our employees, try and send individual emails as well. You know, try to be more managing your employees on a one-to-one, face-to-face type of interaction and communication as compared to a lot of team management. Apply discipline individually, not to a team. So even if you have a number of people on a team that are having problems or maybe even similar problems, don't address them all together. Take them one by one. Talk to that to each person individually about what the issue might be, whatever that issue happens to be. Another solution is recognize that employees have lives outside of work. You know, is it really such a big deal if they make a periodic phone call to someone, to a family member, or someone is calling to check on their children and a child care? Is that really that big of a deal? People have lives outside of work. You know, you're going to find that if you are not so strict and you're a little bit more lenient, you know, people, your employees are going to respect that you are recognize that they have family and lives outside of work. You know, treat your employees as adults as compared to treating them like children. So what if they're drinking coffee or tea or soda at their desk? So what? You don't have to have these such straight and strict rules that it doesn't allow people some time. You know, another one is sometimes employees feel that you're not being really fair to everybody. One of the things that I heard a lot was, you know, all the smokers get to go have their 10-minute smoke break several times throughout the day. Why can't I have my non-smoke break? You know, and you're absolutely right. What is wrong with a non-smoker just taking their non-smoke break? You know, just be a little bit more lenient, a little more flexible. You know, and one of the things that another solution is there was one time there was the golden rule, right? I really believe Dr. Tony Alessandra said that the golden rule is dead, and what we really need to have is the platinum rule. And I think he's right on. The platinum rule is treating others the way they want to be treated, because the way you want to be treated might be totally different than the way they want to be treated. So start treating people the way they want to be treated. You know, there really is no excuse anymore for managers to be bad bosses. It's time to be a good boss and start be looking at ways that you can promote more of a warm climate, a climate at work where people want to be there, where climate where people want to do their very best work. And that starts, frankly, with you, their boss. So be a good boss rather than a bad boss. And there's a lot of these. I'll try and give you some more of these at another time because our time is just about ended here. But be a good boss and treat people fairly. Don't treat them like slaves. Appreciate, even if it's just a simple thank you. It doesn't cost you anything. and start listening to your employees and respect them more. Well, this has been our time is just about up. If you know of someone that could use a show where they could be to be mentored and to improve their career and life growth, please tell them about today's Inspiring Women. Share the link with them. You know, each week I try and bring you extraordinary women to help spark your own personal career and life growth with their tips, tools, and strategies. And each week I end with a quote and action for the day. And by the way, for those of you who don't know, if you email me, I'll send you the link so you can get these quote and actions on a daily basis if you want them. So the quote for this week is, "The problem in my life and other people's lives is not the absence of knowing what to do, but the absence of doing it." And that's from Peter Drucker. And your action for today is to do something that would benefit your own professional success that you have not been doing recently. Well, until next time, this is Deanne DeMarco. Have an extraordinary day.
Thank you for joining us for this week's edition of Today's Inspiring Women. Please join host Deanne DeMarco and other entrepreneurial and business leaders next Thursday at noon Pacific Time, 3 p.m. Eastern Time on the Voice America Empowerment Channel. Have an outstanding week.
Thanks again for listening to the preceding program brought to you on the Voice America Empowerment Channel. For more information about our network and to check out additional show hosts and topics of interest, please visit VoiceAmericaEmpowerment.com. The Voice America Talk Radio Network is the worldwide leader in live internet talk radio. Visit VoiceAmerica.com. The views and ideas expressed on the preceding program are strictly those of the host or guests and do not necessarily reflect the views and ideas held by the Voice America Talk Radio Network, its staff, and management.